Hey everybody, let me remind you one more time about my new blueprint for success. It's a project I've spent months and months working on just to help you jumpstart your comedy career and beat the competition. Whether you want to do stand-up, sketch, improv, acting, writing, producing, directing, radio, social media influencing, or even if you want a career behind the scenes as a manager or agent, Blueprint for Success will give you all the tools you need to take your career to the highest levels. With exclusive interviews, my top 50 commercial-free episodes from industry standard, one-on-one coaching with me, and unprecedented access into my knowledge and experience from over 40 years in this crazy business, I guarantee you that with Blueprint for Success, you'll become the creator you've always dreamed of becoming. No one's asking me to do this. I want to do it because I want to help you become truly undeniable. So just go to barrykatz.com, click on Blueprint for Success, and start your incredible journey today. I truly can't wait to work with you to help you change the trajectory of your comedy career forever.
Don't compromise. Don't let anyone tell you, you know, you shouldn't be doing it. Shut the fuck up. You did the work. You earned that time on stage. That's your time. And use it in the best possible way that you can. But really, it's all about the work. There's no easy way. You can get 100,000 million followers, but that doesn't mean you can do 45 solid minutes at a comedy club.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Industry Standard with me, Barry Katz. I've had a great time here in Montreal. It's incredible. Run into a lot of great people who have shared with me how impactful this podcast has been to them, and a lot of people that I don't know, and I've been really, really grateful to meet them and hear their stories, and it means a lot because when you start something like this 10 years ago, you hope that it reaches people from all over the world, but when you find out that it does, it just means a lot. And again, I say it over and over again, but I'm really grateful. When I think of Judy Gold, I've known Judy Gold probably my whole comedy career. When I was at the Boston Comedy Club in New York, she was one of the original people that used to be going on stage in the late 80s, early 90s. She always killed. She was fiery. She was a ball buster. She just always killed, and she was larger than life. And I always thought she was somebody who didn't like me every time I saw her, but it was just her style of being. She had a way of just making you sort of, in a way, off balance to where she could have her way with you. And she always would have her way with you, no matter what, with a sharp wit, a brilliant intelligence, and a navigational pattern that always allowed her to feel and act like she was going to take the room, like she was going to take the room every single time. And her relationships ran deep with so many people. And along the way, she was able to rise very, very high in the comedy world because of those relationships and because of the performances in front of those people who were at a higher level than she was at the time. And then it all came full circle where she was giving opportunities to people where she was at a higher level than them. And I always think about that and how she was and how she is and how she continues to be. And I just think to myself, if everyone could figure out a way to be like that, I think they'd have the kind of extraordinary career that Judy Gold has had.
Here Here we go in 3, 2. This show will have laughter.
I got everybody pregnant with Barry Katz and semen.
I'm not comfortable with the tone this is taking.
If you're undeniable, you will not be denied.
If you want to be successful in show business, you get yourself a Jew white manager like Barry Katz.
Being a manager is just turning no's into yeses.
Creating holy shit moments.
Undeniable.
You f***ing firing me up, Katz.
I love this man.
Is there anything else I should know?
You're on.
What?
I'm on the air!
Barry Katz.
Back in the house.
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 Let's do this.
I'm going to go in a direction, again, I never go. I have no dog in this fight here. Isn't it interesting that the person who a lot of our country is fighting to stop might feel that he's being canceled?
Okay.
And I want you to know that I am not a
Trump supporter. Okay.
But I'm also not like a Biden supporter. I'm
right.
Not like a, I don't know where I am because
okay.
I don't know. I don't see anything that's making me really happy. So, but I'm just telling
okay.
you, wouldn't he, isn't he the person that even with all the stuff that's happening, isn't he the person that, you know, he says things that are inappropriate like a stand-up comic does.
Right. But he still was president for 4 years. Okay. I talk a lot about this in the book.
No, I want to know. I want to know. Do you feel like even as much violently as you dislike him and some people, do you think there's certain points where people have tried to cancel him? Take aside the other stuff that they should cancel him for.
Absolutely.
And do you endorse people canceling for those things?
Or? I don't think speech that incites violence should be protected. Okay.
So there is certain speech that isn't free.
I don't, not protected. I think he can say whatever he wants, and I think everyone can say whatever they want. But there are consequences to your speech. So I got into this. I called the
And don't leave but you says there are consequences to your speech. So when a comedian goes on. And you know the one
politician that you're talking about, an elected official,
yes,
someone who has agency over your life in a way. They're passing legislation. They're affecting my life personally.
So they don't have the same rights as comedians.
They have more rights. They have more rights than the comedians. They have power. You know. It's a comedian is trying to make you laugh. And if you don't like the comedian, you don't have to watch them. You just say, I don't like that. That offended me. Move on with your fucking life. You know, these people are creating laws. They're whitewashing history. They are using their power in a very dangerous way. And the fact is they have power. Comedians do not have power. So
yeah, and I know I'm interrupting.
Right.
I hate interrupting, but I want to
right.
keep going on this. So you mentioned the specials, and what do I have to do to get a special?
Well,
I just want to share this. So there's certain decision makers who make the special who decide on that. The Supreme Court, it's not a mass of politicians. It's a select few people like at a network choosing specials. And those people can make decisions that change the course of your life.
Absolutely.
In a special.
Look at Roe v. Wade.
That's what I'm saying. So that wasn't the masses. That was one small
right, so
group of people
about,
who made the change.
No.
That wasn't
talking,
millions of people who made the change.
Okay. But we're talking about a woman's right to have autonomy
yes.
over her body
yes.
versus a comedian not being able to get a special, which is so subjective. It's the same, you know, now that you bring it up, like, so I talked to the head of the ACLU from years and years ago, and he said, you know, when you go to a college, right, and they have a very right-wing, you know, conspiracy theorist booked, and all the left-wing people know, all the students are protesting, no, we can't have this person on campus, and that person gets canceled. Then when they have a lefty Lefterman on, those right-wing people can do the same thing. And who ends up deciding? Who gets canceled? The dean. Some, mostly, most of the time, white men. But there is a dean. And that person has power. And that's what happens in the Supreme Court. We're saying comedians now have mobs coming after them because of social media, because everyone's opinion is equally valid. Things that didn't even, I mean, I've had people come after me. I can't believe you said this. Completely taken out of context. They weren't even in the room. They heard it from a third party. And this just, it's a snowballs. But we don't have power.
Michael Richards, should he have been canceled?
He was a comedian.
He had free speech in a comedy club. Do you feel like people should have just said, hey, it's comedy?
I think that he did a really stupid thing. There's the consequences.
But should he
be able to get on stage? Are you asking, should he be able to perform again?
Absolutely. He can perform again, but I'm saying, should he have been taken out of society and the entertainment business?
I don't know. I don't think anyone should not be able to do their art. I don't know if that was art. I think he lost it on stage, don't you?
Yeah.
But he's
an actor, and you don't know what's sometimes
working. Right. But also, here's a video.
Yeah.
They shouldn't allow phones in comedy clubs. Thank you to Noam and Esty. There's no phones in there. The audiences are amazing.
And a shout out to Yonder, who does the pouches.
Yonder. Thank you, Yonder.
I have a philosophy about something, and I want to share it with you, and I've shared it a couple of times. Please feel free to shut me down.
I can't believe you use Michael Richards as the example.
I want to
go
toe-to-toe with you.
All right.
And I want to be able to create a situation. I am the least political person
right.
in the world.
I have nothing.
I just want to just figure out where you stand on the line.
Here's the line. The line is you said some shitty shit. Now people don't want to book you. Sorry. You know?
So here's my philosophy about the entertainment business.
Yeah.
And I want to know what you think of this idea. Every huge Bobby has a president of the NFL, whatever. So if somebody hits their wife in an elevator and drags her through the lobby, they go in the commissioner's office. Okay, let's see. Ray Rice did that about 5 years ago. What do we give him? Okay, you got 8 games. You're suspended without pay, and you have to pay $1 million to the female fund of abuse. Okay, next. And so when somebody was my first client, and who is a dear friend of yours, Louis C.K., has what happens to him out of 100% of all the things that has happened to him in his life in the entertainment business, 1% of 1% of the things that happened to him are spotlighted. And it's like, okay, you were in that dressing room, you did that. Okay, you are no longer allowed on television, all your shows. But can I finish this point? Because I want to share this with you. So why isn't there somebody in the comedy business who says, okay, Louis, come into the office. Okay.
Because
all right,
it's not a corporation.
You're going to be suspended a year, and you're going to pay $1 million to, and you're going to make shows for women. And then you're going to get,
I know.
And then you're going to get back into the entertainment business after a year, and we're going to call all these places, and they're going to put you back to work,
right,
what you want to do.
Because it is not a corporation. But
it's embarrassing to me, the fact that
about him in my book.
I mean, the guy, he's a genius, and the fact that it doesn't matter because
he can go anywhere.
He did.
I wrote in my book, Louis, he fucked up, you know, but I will say he created shows for women. When I did his show, his producing partner, female. His casting person, female. His, you know, but he also did a, and he apologized, and he wrote, and then he criticized the apology. You can't stop. If you don't like him, then don't go see him. It's a personal choice. But for these NFL, it's a huge corporation. Look what happened to Shane Gillis. I mean, he's so funny. He's smart. But it was a NBC, you know, it was about money. It's always about money.
Follow the money. Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this episode as much as I am. If you made it this far and you haven't fallen asleep yet, then you must be the type of person who's serious about having a career in the comedy business. That's why I'm offering you my blueprint for success, a one-of-a-kind all-access pass into my knowledge and experience after over 40 years of working with the best of the best in this crazy entertainment industry. I'll tell you all the stories, all the philosophies, give you all the great special guests, and even give you one-on-one private consultations to help you expand, enhance, and skyrocket your comedy career. Just go to barrykatz.com and click on Blueprint for Success to learn more about my groundbreaking digital academy that I've created just for you. With it, we can take your career so far that one day, instead of listening to this podcast, you'll be interviewed on it.
But yeah, I do. You know, when I wrote an article, a CNN article about Shane, and people came after me, and it was basically saying it wasn't political correctness that got him fired. It was really the fact that NBC, you work for a corporation, and you have to, if you're going to take that money and do this, then they're going to go through your shit, and they're going to, you know, you're under, like when you do a corporate, you book corporate gigs, I'm sure, all the time for your clients, and they're like, listen, you know, and I hate that, but if I'm going to take the corporate money, I'll abide by these parameters.
I remember one of the first corporate dates I booked was for Dane Cook. It was three, one in New York, one in Chicago, one in LA. It was, I guess he wouldn't be mad at me if I said it. It was $50,000 each. It was more money than he'd ever made in his life for these three things I negotiated. And I was really proud of it. And we're in New York, and the guy comes backstage and he says to him, listen, I'm so excited to have you here. Just do whatever you want and have a great time. He does his act. He gets a standing ovation. He comes backstage. This was an amazing moment, and the guy comes back, this is the way I remember it, and he brings back a check. I think it was for all three of them before the thing. He said, I'm so happy, here's a check for the next two and whatever, and listen, can I talk to you for a second? My boss just told me, like, would you mind the next two if you just don't, you know, take it easy, don't swear and don't do offensive things. And this blew me away. This shows me how I didn't know Dane at the time like I did. He took the check and he ripped it up in like 50 pieces and he put it in the guy's hand. He said, get somebody else to do the other gigs. I don't want your money.
Wow.
That blew me away.
And it's one guy that was offended.
One guy,
the head guy, my boss, and the whole rest of the place stood up for him. That is what we're talking about in when it comes to, you know, corporations.
You said something, and I love talking to you about challenging things because you're so smart, and I consider myself functionally special needs. So
I think everyone considers you functionally special needs, Barry.
You talked about how you felt about this whole situation and the cancellation.
And Kathy Griffin, another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holding the head of...
And who knew that the ketchup would later come out to actually be prophetic in a way, because he threw ketchup against the wall and he, you know, but whatever. Yeah. She can't even answer her phone.
But this is what I want to ask you about. you said, if somebody gives you the money, I'll change.
No, I won't change.
There's $100,000 for corporate Judy. Please don't talk to the audience. Please just do these jokes for me. And please say hello to the president and tell him he has a nice tie.
Okay. It's $100,000.
Why?
Because I have two kids and I need the fucking money, Barry.
So, but don't you think?
But not now, in a club.
Do you respect the people like Chappelle who walk away from the $50 million?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that he can do that. I don't have the luxury to afford that. If I'm going to, and there are gigs I say no to.
But is there a, is there are a little gigs bit I of a, say is no there a to. Little bit of a hypocrisy?
I don't, it really, no, I don't think so. I'm sorry. I'm not, I think I have a lot of integrity and I don't do gigs that I don't want to do, and I don't like when, you know, but if it's $100,000 and they say just don't talk to the audience, what was the other thing?
And
say hi to the president. Fine, I'm fine with that.
Do this material that
and
I
here's,
like.
Here's the jokes we like you to do. Fine, okay. Fine. I need that $100,000. Sorry. If it's $1,000, go fuck yourself. Go. Yourself and your president.
You know, I saw a woman on stage last night who I've known for a long time. I'm going to mispronounce her name. Adrian Iannucci.
Iapolucci.
Iapolucci. Thank you so much.
Very funny.
Adrian Iapolucci.
Love her.
So she does her set. I'm backstage. I'm laughing
hilarious
at what she's doing. And she walks off stage. She says, thank you, good night. And you can see she's just like, she's walking off stage,
right,
and then she turns the audience and gives them all the finger. And then you know how you do the encore and you come out, and then she comes out. And I talked to her afterwards, and she was saying, I don't give a f- what those people think. I care about what I think is funny. And I didn't ask her the question, so I'm going to have to ask you. When she gives the finger, she's giving the finger to the 50% of the audience that loved her too.
Right, right.
Are they accepting of the fact that they know that that's not for them?
I have no idea. But I would assume that they know her, the 50% that came to see her and know her stuff and know what that means. You know, you get to a certain point where the audience is coming to see you. I don't know what the other 50 were expecting, but
I always thought about you when I saw her, because I always thought she had that unapologetic style and wonderful.
Six degrees of separation.
6 degrees of separation. I'm going to mention some names.
Okay.
You tell me what comes to your mind.
Okay.
It could be anything.
It's going to be bad. Okay, go ahead.
Conan O'Brien.
Well, he's very funny. Tall, red hair, ginger. Boys Club. I remember when he got the show. And I thought, he's never done stand-up before. And I thought that was really odd. But for me, it was like, oh, Harvard. You know, it was this sort of trajectory that is kind of common for those guys who went that route. And but I always thought he was funny and edgy. But I was never in his inner circle. I did do the show. I played... who was the drummer?
There you go.
And he was the drummer for Springsteen. I played his wife in some skits, but I never got in that little group there. And I love Mike Sweeney too. He's the greatest.
The best. We started
but
with
yeah,
Mike Sweeney.
I think white male late night.
Doesn't it amaze you, like, this is another thing that we talked about earlier in the podcast about, like, if you were casting something. I always wonder, like, what it's like for, like, Mike Sweeney's there. I love Mike Sweeney. You love Mike Sweeney. You did stand up with him hundreds of times.
Oh, God.
He knows you're funny. He loves your comedy. He'd love, you know.
never been on the show.
Don't you think like once in like a whatever you could just say, you know, hey, listen, just trust me on this one.
Right.
Just whatever. Mr. Smiley, Paula, just, you know,
right.
What do you think you could... And it happens all the time. And you know, if Mike were here, he'd say, "Hey, listen, I don't have any.
I'm just the guy. Yeah."
And so it's so hard because a lot of times, like, you know, even if it's Judd Apatow or Adam McKay and they're casting a movie, and they have their friends are the biggest stars ever, but there's only one role. Like, how do they decide who? And did the other people just say, "F you, Adam? I can't believe you didn't pick me." You know,
well, for me, Barry, it is an ongoing. This happens to me all the time. It's, oh, they're not just not right. You're this and that, or they don't, you know, and you just have to say, okay. I mean, there's so many no's. It's always no, you're not right. No, you're too tall. No, you're too Jewish. No, you're too gay. But no, you're too this.
But you always,
too loud.
You always do.
And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to let them win. I'm going to, okay. Someone else will want me, or I'll create something else, or I'll do it my way. And that's how I've survived.
And it could be argued that Shane Gillis is more famous and better off since he got canceled.
Well, yes. And he can be true to himself.
It could be argued that Melissa Villaseñor isn't doing as well as Shane Gillis.
Right.
And she was on the show for 6 years.
Right.
And
exactly. Shane is a stand-up.
Well, she does stand-up. Well, I mean,
yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, he...
But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't... Yeah. Sometimes the show, when you get what you want, it doesn't always...
And so
for you, when things don't... You get the no's and you do something else that's a yes, it's going to be better for you.
Right. And my yeses have been... I mean, Barry, I've done Shakespeare in the Park... I've done so many amazing creative ventures. I have my podcast been on for 8 years. Kill me now. For me, it's about the work. It's really about the work. And if I didn't have this burning desire to be better and to know more and to perform, you know, like I don't know what my life would be.
All right, let's keep going with this. Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, I love Jim. He used to open for me. He's a great guy, really funny, and owes a lot to his wife. She is the rock in that, and she created Jim Gaffigan. Jeannie is amazing. And I think, you know.
I interviewed the both of them in New York, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, God. I love Rosie. I knew Rosie before she was famous. The writing and producing on that show. I did the first two seasons. Some of the happiest times of my career. I mean, I never had a job before, and I loved it. And I would do stand up at night. That was the other thing, Barry. Even when I was doing other stuff, like that show, I had to be there at 7 a.m. and have jokes written by 7:30. I would call Stand Up New York, which was the closest club to my apartment, and say, "Can I do the first spot? Can I do the first spot?" Like, I never stopped doing it. She is complicated, funny, very driven, and very philanthropic. And she's been. You know, there's only a few people that gave me these huge chances. Margaret Cho, Rosie O'Donnell, Pamela Adlon. So I owe a lot to her. But, you know, it's complicated.
Colin Quinn.
Ah! Colin Quinn, another one who gave me a lot of chances. I adore him. He is a comics comic. I love Tough Crowd. I mean, he's brilliant. He's another one. Does the work. Always creating. He's the salt of the earth. So hilarious. I can't say enough good things about him. I love him.
Your proudest moment in show business?
In show business. Thus far, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I think... So my older son, Henry, who would always get like, why do you have to be a comedian? Why can't you be like normal parents? He started working in a comedy club. I would get them jobs like at Caroline's or something for the summer when they were in college and stuff. And then he started working at West Side Comedy Club, and he worked at Stand Up New York. And I think my proudest moment is when he came to me and was like, I really didn't realize how much people respect you. Like, that was the proudest thing. Like he had no idea how hard I worked. Or I'm not the kind of comedian who, when we're at home, I'm like, me, you know, like, I'm just not like that. And everything revolves around my career. So I think the proudest moment is having my kids realize, wow, you know, we don't have the biggest apartment. You know, I have a lot of friends who are living in these huge buildings with houses all over the world. But boy, these comics really have nothing bad to say about my mother, and they really respect her. And to me, that's the proudest thing I've ever done.
Awesome. Your biggest disappointment in show business and how you used it to fuel yourself to the next level. The most bone-crushing thing that happened that helped you go to the next thing.
I think I did a pilot for a show sort of like The View, but it wasn't The View. This was 2010. And who was it? It was me, Paula Deen, Gosling, the woman with the kids, and then another journalist. And I was like, I was the Joy Behar, essentially. And we did this pilot, and it was great. And they were like, it's going. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be able to stay home and go to a studio, you know, like, and I'm going to make a salary. Like, and I never think anything, Barry, I never think anything is going to happen ever, ever, ever. And they kept saying, it's going. And it didn't go. And I went into a terrible clinical depression, and it took me years to really sort of feel normal again. But it was a whole series. You know, I had to put my mother in a nursing home, and then, you know, this happened, and my kids, I almost went bankrupt, and I was trying, you know, I was a single parent at that time, trying to like really, and I thought, oh God, I'm going to be able to have a normal life and my kids are going to be okay. And that was the worst thing I ever went through. And I just pushed myself. I went to therapy every day, did cognitive behavioral therapy. And I had diurnal depression. So during the day, I was completely, I could not function. And then at night, once the sun went down, it would lift a little bit. Most people have nocturnal depression, but I had diurnal. And I would go on stage. I mean, I couldn't write any material and everything, but I would try to do my jokes. And then I got an off-Broadway show, and I just kept pushing myself. And I'm like, no. And that changed me a lot.
Got it. Last question.
Huh?
I love your stories and how you articulate them. They're just...
Oh, Barry.
No, it's really, really...
Thank you.
It's really inspirational. So what advice do you have for the young artist who's starting out, who knows their lifestyle, but the world doesn't know their lifestyle, and is fighting through what I would call their internal lie that they're telling themselves and the crowds around them and the people, fighting through it, being truthful to yourself, coming out on the other side, and having the kind of amazing career that you've had?
Barry, that was so nice. I love you.
I like coming from another Jew. I love you too.
I would tell them, follow your gut. Your gut is always correct. If you feel like, wait, there's something wrong here, you're right, and follow that. Because the only times I've ever really gotten myself in trouble is when I didn't follow my gut. Also, tell the truth. Don't compromise. Don't let anyone tell you, you know, you shouldn't be doing it. Shut the fuck up. You did the work. You earned that time on stage. That's your time. And use it in the best possible way that you can. But really, it's all about the work. There's no easy way. You can get 100,000 million followers, but that doesn't mean you can do 45 solid minutes at a comedy club. It catches up with you. You have to do the work.
Awesome. Judy Gold.
I love you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barry. This was so fun.
Not only do your kids tell you that everybody loves and respects you, but I will tell you that, and I've released some demons from myself because I thought intrusive thoughts about how you thought about me, and I always, because you were so, I told you last night that you always,
I would mock
you
that.
Always gave me a beating when you came into the club, and I learned how to take the beating from comics from you. But now I feel total.
But I have a caustic vulnerability. I'm still vulnerable.
I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
As always, this has been Industry Standard with me, Barry Katz. And if you like the show, tell all your friends. And if you don't like the show, tell all your friends.
You get all the money, drive that fancy car. All the people love you, you're going far. Life is for the dreamers, they have all to gain. It's never quite over till it all feels the same. You pick your own poison, dig your own grave. Down in the valley, a fortune.
Thank you for listening to Industry Standard with Barry Katz. If you'd like more info on our schedule of new episodes or how to reach Barry through Twitter, Facebook, or email, go to BarryKatz.com. Before you leave, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast, leave a comment, and rate it, even if you think it blows. Thank you for your support, and have a great day.
Hey, everybody. Let me remind you one more time about my new blueprint for success. It's a project I've spent months and months working on just to help you jumpstart your comedy career and beat the competition. Whether you want to do stand-up, sketch, improv, acting, writing, producing, directing, radio, social media influencing, or even if you want a career behind the scenes as a manager or agent, Blueprint for Success will give you all the tools you need to take your career to the highest levels. With exclusive interviews, my top 50 commercial-free episodes from Industry Standard, one-on-one coaching with me, and unprecedented access into my knowledge and experience from over 40 years in this crazy business. I guarantee you that with Blueprint for Success, you'll become the creator you've always dreamed of becoming. No one's asking me to do this. I want to do it because I want to help you become truly undeniable. So just go to BarryKatz.com, click on Blueprint for Success, and start your incredible journey today. I truly can't wait to work with you to help you change the trajectory of your comedy career forever.